Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All you got to do is take one look at me and you know I like food. I do. I love food. And you know, over the years, of course, I've tried to figure out what it was that made me love food so much so that I could maybe not eat as much. And you can go down your local bookstore and find self-help books, self-help seminars. You can find YouTube videos and everything else. And they'll talk about your food motivations and so on and so forth. And it all seems, well, rather important. And then maybe it doesn't. But we have to think about food, don't we? It's a necessity. We have to have food. We have to eat in order to live. So it's not as if we can just get rid of it. We have to have it. But we also have to ask about our motivation for food. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a self-help book, and this isn't a self-help seminar, and this isn't about how you can look better and feel better in terms of food and weight loss and all that kind of stuff. No, we're talking about food because it seems to be in all of our text. Last week we had the feeding of the 5,000. That's 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So we know it was significantly higher than just 5,000. Jesus fed the 5,000. And then we also have the story of the manna in the wilderness today. It was in our Old Testament reading. It's also brought up again in our gospel lesson. So we know, here we go again. We have yet another text that deals with food. And to be honest, I'm going to throw yet another one in there. Another one in there because I think it's important to lay some groundwork for how this text needs to be read. I'm going to bring up the prodigal son. Now, for those of you that are thinking, where in the world does food even appear in the prodigal son, let me tell you. So for those of you that don't know, in the Gospel of Luke, we hear the story of the prodigal son. That is the son that basically demands his inheritance from his father while his father is still alive, ventures off, squanders it all, and then comes back home in the midst of a famine after he squanders it all. And his father accepts him back in open arms, but his brother is then offended. That's the whole aspect of the prodigal son. But you see, it's in the midst of that famine that the one son, the one that has squandered all of his wealth, is feeding pigs. He's a Jew, and he's feeding pigs. But it says that he looks longingly at the pods that the pigs are eating. And I want you to imagine, just for a second, what would have happened had that prodigal son chosen to eat those pods? He longed for them. He desired them. He was so hungry in the midst of all of that that he desired to eat those pods. What would have happened had he eaten those pods? Well, it would have been gross. It would have been disgusting. But he would have been full. He could have eaten them. He could have filled himself up. Now imagine he kept doing that. And then after a while, he'd earn enough money to maybe go and get some actual food. He would have thought it was the best meal ever. After eating all those pods for the pigs and doing all of that in terms of it would be disgusting, he would have felt like that was the best meal ever. It still never would have compared to the meal that he would get at his father's house. Even as a servant in his father's house, it would have never even compared. But yet he would have thought it was the greatest meal ever. His motivation, his desire, all of that would have been stripped away. The reason I bring this up is because this actually brings us to the point where we ask the question of motivation. Why do you eat what you eat? But more importantly, why are you here? You see, we're fed with the very Word of God. We're fed with the very message that our Lord and our Savior has for us. We're fed with the knowledge, but more than just the knowledge, the faith, the trust, and the belief of what Jesus has done for you. And that is true food from heaven. But the question that Jesus is asking those people that have gathered around him is a question of motivation. Why are you here? You see, a lot of times when we preach these sermons and we stand up, it turns out that we talk a lot about what everybody else outside of our doors does. But how often do we say, okay, you're here, you're in church, but why are you here? Maybe it's a habit that you've started ever since you were a kid, and now you kind of keep on with the habit. Maybe it's because you don't want to offend another member of your family. Another member of your family says you better go to church, and so you go to church. Or maybe it's just a societal thing. You realize that from a societal standpoint, there's a lot of pressure on you coming to church, and so you decide that you're going to come to church. Don't get me wrong. If as I listed all of those things off, if you find yourself going, wow, I might fit into this category or that category, it's okay. We're still happy that you're here. We're still happy that you're hearing the Word of God. We're happy about that. Do we hope and do we pray that you will reach a time and a place where you say, I come to church because I love to hear the Word of God, that I love to hear all that Jesus has done for me, that I love to receive Christ's true body and blood given and shed for me? Absolutely. But if you're not there yet, we're still happy that you're here. But you see, it's all about motivations. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people that have been fed. They received loaves and fish on the shore. They received their fill of food. And they come to Jesus, and Jesus kind of calls them out. You've come here seeking more food. And of course, they bring in the manna in the desert, the manna in the wilderness, the manna, which literally translates into, what is it? By the way, I love that. I love the fact that they name a food, what is it? And then we, to this day, we still talk about it, don't we? We say, well, the manna in the desert, and it's, what is it? So, it just, that's one of my secret little jokes. It cracks me up. It just cracks me up. But he asked them about their motivations. He says, why are you here? Jesus has the audacity to say, why are you here? And so we come here again today. And I know, again, I know it's not typical. A lot of times we're just happy that anybody comes through our doors. We're happy to have you. We're happy that people come to hear the Word of God with us, to sit with us, to sing with us, to be with us. And we're happy to have you. But as you self-reflect on this, and as you go home later today and you reflect on those questions and you say, man, why am I here? Maybe it's a time for prayer. Maybe it's a time for reflection. Oh, changes aren't going to happen instantaneously. But just to reflect on all the great gifts that God gives to you, all the great gifts that Christ gives to you, that He has done for you, for your sake, for your salvation. And to think, that's why we are here. We're here, gathered around God's Word, gathered around His gospel message, gathered around the great gifts that He gives to us in His body and in His blood, given and shed for you. You don't have to be perfect. We're glad you're here. We're glad that you are here to hear this message with us and also to tell others about this great message, the message of love, the message of grace, the message of mercy. So no, This is not a self-help seminar. This is not a new diet fad. This is simply asking the question, why are you here? What's your motivation? And regardless of what it is, know that Jesus loves you and he cares. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostle.